the people, and power to the gang, power to Port Adelaide, where we give our name, and Albert and sons and daughters, and the South Australia.
Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club, coming to you live on Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven online radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. Hi, I'm Al, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Phil and the Fox, as we discuss round 17 to 20 of 1997. But before we go into that, let's recap the debacle, which is the showdown. Welcome, boys.
Hello. G'day.
How do you feel the weekend went? Like, I've just got to put it out there. We were too effing nice. We were too nice, we were holding too many hands, and we didn't play like we wanted to win that game.
No, I don't reckon we were too nice. I reckon the crowd was a bit too nice, but yeah, no, it was, it just pretty much sums up the year, the way we played. It's disappointing, disappointing loss in a game that we really should have won and won comfortably.
It's deplorable. It's not Port Adelaide football.
But we almost pinched to win in the end.
But I'm sick of these almost pinching wins, mate. Yeah. Every week, like, oh, we'll come back. We've lost like six games by under 10 points this year. It's effing ridiculous. We don't leave it to the end. I'm just so angry.
Their back line is about as it gets, right? And they lost Talia through the game. So if you look at their back line, their back six, like, who would get a game in another team, do you reckon?
Well, Jake Lever is what played like, I don't know, four games. Hardigan's played like 19.
And his wife. Hardigan's a footballer.
Yep. And what happened? Westhoff got nothing. Schultze kind of got off the chain at the end, but really he didn't do much all day. The only person that gave us a forward target was freaking Ryder. Yeah. So bad.
Is that Al's a bit fiery today? We've had a
effing.
Getting excited
now. Yeah, I am getting a bit excited.
Say a roast to Westhoff. That was one of the worst games of football you'll see, apart from maybe Archers. That was, like, he was deplorable. Like, letting that point go through, kicking. Like,
what was that? That like, kicking, like no one saw that on the ground, and everyone's just like, you know, that was in the crowd and just watching that, just going, you're kidding.
That kicking the ball and touch it going over the line kick from a kick out is like a no ball in cricket. You know, it's like a free hit. It's just so crap. It just should never happen. He was with the fairies, seriously.
Like, and this is a week after he played probably his best game of the year against Collingwood. And then he plays like that. It's like chalk and cheese.
I just have no confidence in that guy. If we were to make, I mean, we've seen him in, you know, one grand final, haven't we? But in a grand final, I just expect that he'd just do absolutely nothing. Like, he just strikes me as that type of player that just doesn't, you know, he's just perennially disappointing, I reckon.
I love Westhoff, but his consistency has been an issue for as long as he's been playing.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he's a valuable player, and when he's on song, he's pretty well unstoppable. But his inconsistency just hurts the team so badly. Like, I don't know how many touches he got, but man, that was, don't even get me started. That was just a shocker. And he's played some absolutely brilliant showdowns before.
He's a showdown king, isn't he?
Yeah, well, Josh Carr's a showdown king, but
true.
Yeah, he's just so frustrating, man. Like,
another frustrating player who had a really good game against Collingwood and then was pretty much non-existent liability on the weekend was O'Shea. Now, I know that
saying that raised me up.
Oh, but as we
we discussed that today, Alistair.
Yes, and I said that probably the biggest difference between best and worst on our team, and some people even say in our AFL history, is O'Shea. Like, he can be really good, but he can be when he's shite, he is shite.
I'd say Pittard would be up there.
I think he's a bit different. He takes the game on, but he's still, worth his weight in gold, as you said the other day. And I've been off the pit. I was on the Pittard bagging, and then I went on. I said, no, he's been really playing well this season. And then
I've never
the last month. The last month he's been, before he got injured, he was deplorable. But he still adds something. And as I think you sent me an email this week saying that we've only won 20% of games that Pittard is not involved in.
Since 2012. But the counter argument to that is we've probably only won, like, you know,
22%.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a good stat, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
No, exactly. But there were some good players on Sunday. Like Travie Boak and Chad Wingard and Robbie Gray, they all were.
Good old Paddy Ryder.
I'm always quick to judge this guy, but I thought he had a good game. Was Hammer? I thought especially in the first quarter, probably the first half, I thought he put his body on the line and got to good positions and really gave us something. He looked on fire from the start, which, you know, I've been a fierce critic of his this season, but I thought he got a pass mark as well.
I don't check the stats, but I don't remember seeing much of him after half time though.
He got 25, so 7 tackles.
Do we know what he did in the second half?
No.
Oh, we might have to ask our listeners. Is anyone out there that has their view on Paddy in his second half and whether
we're talking about Hammer, but cheers for listening.
Sorry. Hammer.
Yeah.
Lack of focus now. That's going to stop the show going to one of the commercial stations. It's all right. It's all right, but just overall lack of focus.
Yeah.
It's just sorry, ladies.
Show, isn't it?
So, yeah, that sucked. What about the booing?
Graham Goodings, get off your bike. You're an absolute clown.
Oh.
You just made a decision that it was because at the time that Tex was coming, we were booing. But apparently, I wasn't at the game. It was the umpires that were getting booed.
Right, but I'm going to go out there and say, who cares if it was at Tex Walker or not?
Who cares?
Like, I was on the Facebook, you know, sitting there, and I got so upset, like angry at like a few bloody opposition supporters who commented. Apparently there are a few Port fans who booed the Crows when they came out. It was on TV. It's like, well, we came out together, mate. So, but look, there's respect Phil Walsh. We all respect Phil Walsh, right? We've got a right to look, and I didn't boo, but if Tex Walker gets booed or the Crows come out and they get booed, who gives a crap?
How is
that? I don't see how that's that makes us, you know, we've got no class. Who cares?
Mate, I saw some of the most classless acts from Crow supporters, as you do every showdown, goes completely unnoticed because the media reports what it wants to report. And if people like Graham Goodings want to have a sulk about us booing Tex Walker, get a life, mate. You have obviously a pretty pathetic existence if that makes your Twitter feed. Seriously. Like, what about all the booing of Justin Westhoff or Gray when they win the medal? What happens there? Is that tweet worthy? No, it's not, because it's just football. It's what happens. If that was a Collingwood-Essendon game or something like that, you know what I mean? Do you reckon that the opposition captain don't get booed? I mean, come on. Get off your bike, mate.
I think, you know,
find some relevance. That's not going to make you irrelevant again, Graham.
No, but what they're doing, the thing that annoys me, and this is the thing. Like, I had my little moment where I was sort of hoping that the Crows did all right for 1 week. I was talking about it last week. Deep down, I probably didn't want them to do well, but in theory, I wanted them to do well, but I don't like them. But this whole, like, holier-than-thou mentality, like, nah, you know, our supporters, you know, it's just classless supporters do that. How about the fact that there was a joint bloody march? How about the fact there was a joint banner? How about the fact that I reckon 95% of the crowd hung around after the game? If the roles were reversed and we were down by, and the Crows were down by 5 goals at three-quarter time, 90% of their supporter base would be gone. let's be honest, they bail. I'm generalising a supporter base here. But they
it's 100% the right. They're fair-weather supporters. They sit there and they...
I actually think that a lot of people that support Adelaide have mental problems. Like,
putting it out there, eh, Fox?
Well, you know, I've been to a lot of showdowns, and the way that these people act, I mean, it's a small minority, but it seems consistent. And you've been there with me, Al, and, you know... I mean, the amount of ales we consume might contribute, but, you know, we have dramas. That's why I stopped going to showdowns for a while, because they just flip a switch and they're just holier than... What's the saying that you used before?
Holier than thou.
Yeah, like they just think they're, you know, what doesn't stink. And that's why I can't be bothered going to showdowns, because you just can't win. You can't win an argument, and you always come off as a feral Port supporter. When, you know, their Chardonnay sipping antics go completely just under the radar over it. Joke of a football corporation.
With the apricot slice.
Honestly, though, given the circumstances, now let's say that we did boo Taylor Walker. Given the circumstances with everything that happened with Phil Walsh, is it an issue anyway?
I couldn't care less. I think what... It's
a freaking football game.
To me, I'm baffled that this is even made, like we're even talking about it. I'm really baffled. It's like I'm baffled about Ollie Wines' girl comment. Like, how precious as a society have we become? Like, stop pandering to all the soccer mums out there and let's get back to playing football. Like, go watch a 1980s Port Adelaide Grand Final, guys, and that's what it was about. Like, you know, Port Nord games, Port Glenelg games back in the 80s. Like... I remember one grand final that Brian Lees played in, and I went up to the club rooms afterwards, mate, and he was just smoking like cigarettes like they were going out of fashion, like, you know, smashed and like just, you know, old fashioned men footballers, you know what I mean? Like, we've just become a society of Nancy boys, I reckon. Like,
with man conversations.
Oh mate, if we're making topics out of booing the opposition captain at your home showdown and Ollie Wines making an off-the-cuff remark, you know, man, as Aurelio Vidmar said, Adelaide's a pissant city, and exactly what I'd expect.
Do you know what shits me, though, is I was at the game. I honestly didn't notice Walker coming out and getting booed. Now, the rumour is it was... you know, directed at the umpires. I don't care. I didn't notice it. So we're talking probably a small portion of the crowd that did it. I don't think it's necessarily wrong or right that they did it. They've got a right to boo if they want to. But why? I'm going to give you an example of one of the Facebook posts I saw. All class Port Adelaide fans booing the Crows as they walk out. Stay classy, is what someone said. And then I'm just going through my friends list that I should delete.
Oh,
talk
wow.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Focus.
No, but hey,
but you know what is disappointing as well is that, like, all jokes aside, like I said, that people that support the Crows have mental problems. And obviously I don't mean that, because I know some Crows supporters that are, well, I mean, my parents are Crows supporters now.
That's disappointing.
As well as Port supporters. It cuts me to the core, but anyway, there are some great supporters from every club, but I just seem to not. There's so many, such a percentage of Crow supporters that I seem to not be able to have a conversation about football. Like, you know, I can sit there and go, you know, Dangerfield has shocking foot skills, but man, you could whack him at full forward and he'd absolutely dominate in any side in the AFL. But the people that I know that support the Crows would never ever say, you know, Travis Blake would fit into the Crows side, or I'd take Chad Wingard. So, oh, Betts would crap on Wingard for small forward. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't seem to be able to look objectively at the sport, the people that I know that support that football club. I mean, it's probably just that small minority again, but...
But it's not, though. It's not a minority.
I just find them a really frustrating supporter base to have to deal with. And that's probably what amplifies my disdain for the Adelaide Football Club. Like, they're just, yeah, I don't know. They just frustrate me.
Hey, guys, we've had a few tweets in. Rick has turned around and said that Paddy was okay but a bit soft. And then Rick's also said, why can't we boo Tex? Bevan is a bit of a fan of the Fox tonight.
Is this fishing Rick?
Yeah, fishing Rick or fisting Rick. And then Bevan's
the
actually...
fans listening, we better be good.
Yeah,
we better be good. But yeah, apparently Bevan reckons that the Fox is on fire tonight.
Go Nick.
And then Rick has also said, I can't go out, my ass looks big, big in these pants.
That's what I'm not sure.
I just want to read one other Facebook bloody post that did my head in. And like, we'd lost at this point, so I was already angry. Listen to this.
You're always angry.
Great game with footy spirit. Bummer Power fans chose to boo Scotty Thompson and Taylor Walker. Poor form.
Good.
For starters, I don't reckon I didn't hear anyone boo Scott Thompson. I even, like, after his speech, he sort of commented on Port. I gave a three clap, whatever thing. We stuck around. We listened to their bloody speeches and we did the tribute to Phil Walsh. What more do you want? Like, you're going to get booed, guys.
Yeah.
We're not going to frigging walk around holding Crow supporters' hands for the rest of the eternity. It absolutely sucks what happened. Everyone is devastated. But I still hate your football club.
Yeah. I don't mean to be controversial, right? Because Phil spent 11 years at our football club. And
I love Phil Walsh.
I love him. You know, the images of him and Choco through 2004 will live with me forever. And his contribution to our football club can never be undersold. But at the end of the day, the sun comes up tomorrow and we move on. And KT said those words, or not exactly those words, but something similar. And the time to get back to thinking about the best interest of our football club is here, I think, and we're at a bit of a, just a minor crossroads at Port Adelaide at the moment. Like, this was supposed to be our grand final year, according to many, and it really hasn't gone that way. So, you know, like the images of Koshy hugging the opposition chairman, and you know the way a lot of Port supporters felt that we surrendered some of the initiative this showdown to our bitterest rival. I think that we probably need to have a bit of a look at the way that we're conducting ourselves in public at the moment, because this is certainly a fairly relevant opinion at the moment, the vanillarisation of Port Adelaide. I think that the Port Adelaide I grew up supporting was the Port Adelaide that was hated by every other club. And the fact that, I couldn't care less that Crow supporters are having a sook that we booed Scott Thompson. Well, good. That means we're relevant.
But we didn't boo him.
Yeah, who cares? Like, get over it, mate. Like, if that's what
you're wasting
breath talking about, then so be it. But let's get back to the Port Adelaide that's hated again. And look, I don't know where this has come from, but the whole... Like, I saw it for the first time in a lot of weeks on the weekend on the Eastern Wing, when I didn't actually see what happened because I'm pretty blind, but I just saw Boakey going in and remonstrating hard. And my mate said, man, something must have happened because Boakey doesn't normally do that. How often do you see that during a game these days? Like, almost never. We spoke about it just about every week. Like, something happens and they're just, like, there's no passion. Like, I want to see people, like, I wouldn't care if I watched Trengove against Norwood one day when he was, like, in his first few years. Man, he put his head down, was just throwing haymakers left, right and centre. And I thought, this bloke has some real aggression, like, he's going to fit in so well. And now it's like he's medicated, like, he just doesn't, like, where's that fire in the belly? Like, say what you want about Hawthorn's unsociable football, but if Port Adelaide was playing with that same sort of passion, it would keep people coming through the gates, you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. I reckon that we should play like more campaigners. We've got to be more campaigners. It's big footy reference there, but like, we've just got to play that unsociable. Everyone hates us. Like, that's if it. You're on the ground and just do it all the time, like, but not just one instance, like Broadbent did a couple of weeks ago. Actually do it all the time and be known to do it and that you're unsociable and people hate you. Who cares?
Be feared again. Like, we're not feared. Like, we were probably feared last year because of our just our running ability, but not necessarily our hardness. And, you know, hark back to my favourite player, Josh Carr. Like, that crap just wouldn't wash if Josh was playing. And that's why I don't get it, because he's a coach now. But, like, he would be throwing his fists around, like, in an unsociable manner, not to get himself rubbed out, but just, you know, that cheeky little gut punch here and there, and, you know, the, you know, just the pinching and the just the
occasional squirrel grip,
the filthy tactics that you know, like, again, soccer mums don't like seeing, but that's the sort of thing that unsettles the opposition. And where's it gone? Come on, bring it back. Poor Adelaide, you've lost your heart.
No, we're fine. Off year, we'll win the premiership next year. Don't stress. So are we all in agreement that we think Crows supporters are a bunch of muppets?
Yep.
I'm
in agreement, and I reckon Crows supporters are a bunch of muppets. I've known that for 20 years. But, but we played absolutely shit house on the weekend. We didn't deserve to win. We didn't win. Our season's shot. Start playing some kids. But I've got a feeling that we're going to get the same but different changes this week. I've got – who agrees with me that it will be out Young and Arch in Graham Mitchell? They played good games in the SANFL, so let's get rid of them. Bring him in.
Sam Gray was POG, so.
Yep, and Kane Mitchell played all right. I think they both got 30-plus touches, I've got a feeling, but – it's not going to help our team moving forward.
But I think look, even the most hardcore Port supporter would struggle to look at the season now and say that we're premiership material. So for me, I think it's important to learn a lot about our list right now, and that comes from putting young players in and seeing if you think they're going to cut the mustard. So giving guys – I don't particularly like these players – but giving guys like Andrew Moore, Paul Stewart, Sam Gray, Arch, Young, those guys games and making the tough calls at the end of the year, I think that's what we really need to start to do. I mean, it's, you know, you certainly don't want to be tanking, but there's a difference between that and learning about your list. Whoever's making that noise, it's
really, yeah, it's a bit annoying.
Stop shuffling papers out.
Not shuffling papers.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I think it's you again, Fox.
It's not me, mate. Look.
Is someone taking the piss?
Right, no, it's Alistair. It's definitely not me.
Yes, it's me being smart. That was the last being time smart. It was me.
Mate, your boss is listening tonight. You won't be getting a gig next week. It'll be Marchie, Fox and Phil. Now, there's all a right. Show that have people's sides in stitches.
Oh, that's true.
Hey, what's the question for tonight? What's the quiz question?
Well, for a $20 voucher to the Port Club, it's actually who was Port Adelaide's highest Brownlow vote getter in 2004?
Oh, I know that one.
Yes. So one of our listeners in 2004, which Port Adelaide player had the most Brownlow votes?
That's a really easy question now.
Well,
it's almost like you weren't prepared.
No, man. It's a great question. So, well, we'll see what our listeners or the first person to tweet in the answer. And no, Rick, you can't answer.
I'm sorry to all the listeners out there that think I'm a bit grouchy today, but I don't do well with showdown losses. That's why I don't tend to go to them, because the part of me dies inside when we lose to Adelaide.
I'd someone in my team at work, right, when I walked in on Monday, and I'm like, Crow supporter, typical Crow supporter, she's not listening, so who cares? Walked in, and I said, I don't even want to hear about it. And she's going, I'm not even going to say anything other than disgraceful that you guys booed Taylor Walker. If I walk past Taylor Walker on the street, I'm just going to start booing him. Thumbs down, booing. And Taylor Walker, what's with the moustache, mate? It's not bloody November. So
mate,
shave your moustache off. You look like a...
Get over yourself. Dude. Far out.
Well, guys, well, I suppose we've... 97. Round 17, Port Adelaide played Essendon at the MCG. We ended up getting a pretty convincing victory at the MCG. I think it was our first win at the MCG, if I remember rightly. We won 18 goals, 14, 122, to 10 goals, 12, 72. And we led at every quarter, basically, all games. So we led by 17 and 23, 46 and 50 in front of 33,000 fans. Yeah, it was a pretty dominant display by Scotty Cummings, really. He kicked 7 goals, 6. So,
did we put a bet on your Scott Cummings comment, or did I just not believe you?
No, we put a beer on it. So you can go back and listen to the podcast if you need to.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Which round are you looking at?
Round 17. So we've got the Essendon game at the MCG. Matty Primus was pretty impressive as well. Just giving first use to Joshy Franco. And yeah, we really did dominate the game. Donald Dickey averaging his 20 touches as he does, and was just all around it. And same with Michael Wilson, still got his 15, but he was really, really tough in and under, and was helping jump in front of that space in front of Matty Lloyd. So
good old Gavin Wagonine with a casual 4 goals.
Yeah. It's when he came back to Port Adelaide, he was playing that that high half forward, still kicking the goals, but it would go through the midfield when we needed him, because he was playing back pocket for Essendon previously. So yeah, it was a bit of a different role for Gav, and doesn't matter where he went on the field, if he was back, forward, midfield, he would just contribute every week.
Yeah, he was an amazing player, wasn't he? He'll go down as one of the greats of the club. And hopefully his son chooses Port Adelaide, and you know, same thing.
How's Darryl Paul that game? He had 16 disposals, which was pretty good for Paulie. One free kick, 4-6 against. Just a casual.
He didn't see him coming. He's only got the one eye, so Darryl Paul didn't see him coming.
I actually worked with Paulie for 6 months.
When?
Huh?
When? Before, like, I met you?
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
And you've never mentioned this?
Oh,
I love Darryl Paul. Darryl the Ball Paul is amazing. He's like one of my favourite players.
Absolute legend. He was such a nice guy.
He's actually a fan of Port Fan Radio on Facebook.
You said that. I don't.
Go through.
Darryl Paul's listening now. Go, Paulie. Yeah.
G'day, we love him.
Port Power, perfect fit, mate.
He's probably not listening. But you never know.
You never know. He might be podcasting this tomorrow.
Yep.
Bring back that Paulie and Meadies nightclub.
Oh, yeah. That was fantastic. That was one of the most... That was an icon of the late 90s, that place. Which loved one? It. It was the Jules Bar. on Hindley Street. I think the Woolshed's there now. But it was Paulie and Meadies.
It's probably one of about 3 nightclub sort of things I've been to.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
Alrighty. So, all right. Good win. And
good win.
We would back it up in round 18 with another good win.
Yeah, well, we
team
finished
that. Won our first ever AFL game against. How did that go out?
Well, it wasn't as... we weren't as fortunate as we were the first time. We were actually playing at Cadinia Park, and it wasn't really a game. It was a shellacking by Geelong. They gave us a good old rogering that day. lost by 85 points. Basically, they led all day. And that last quarter, just like, yeah, lazy six goals. We basically didn't do anything. They kicked 10 goals in the last quarter to smash us out of the water. 85 points.
That's right.
We were deplorable. But I just wanted to say...
Sucked in out. Sorry. Peter Berg on 3 goals. Scott Cummins, okay, 2 goals, 5. Game over. You owe me 2 beers now.
I owe you 2 beers. Okay. I owe you 2 beers.
You owe me 2 beers. What, can we believe anything you say?
Oh, I guess not.
If Al comes at you with a fact, wrong.
Question it.
Oh, Al is
7 shots.
Al is an absolute joke when it comes to the truth. Like, I
do not believe
a word that this man says. Seriously, he tries to hoodwink me all day at work.
Don't listen to the Fox, because the Fox says that Josh Marnie had the best disposal by foot in 2004 on the Port Adelaide list. So don't start with me, Foxy.
Well, I don't think those were my exact words. I said he had one of the best.
I think you said the best.
I said one of the best, and I stand by that comment.
Oh, we should have done like a quiz question. What did Josh Marnie have written on his hand every game?
I know what it was.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Well, you guys might be able to... I offered you the opportunity to do the quiz, but you declined.
So you put out the easiest question ever out. Which, has anyone answered it?
I don't know.
No.
There's been no answer. Do we have any listeners? I don't even know whether we have any listeners. Tweet in if you're hearing.
Logan Rick turned off.
Yeah, Rick's probably turned off. He's listened enough, and he's like, "Yep, these boys are done."
To know this one's not making it through to 2016.
Yeah, the 1870 hours been given the old flick.
It was great while it lasted. Treatment.
Yep.
Yeah. We tried, guys. It's just we're now sort of coming with some facts that don't actually aren't backed up with facts.
Yeah.
It just makes our credibility's gone a bit. So
the very little cred that we had initially.
Look, we made it to what is it, round 18?
We're going to talk about another showdown.
Sorry.
Oh, we made it to
round 18 before I proved you to be incorrect.
Yeah, it took a while.
Well, there was also the game that he didn't play that. You know, you didn't clarify at the start. Anyway.
That's all right.
How annoying is this? So we've talked about the showdown, and now we get to talk about another bloody showdown that we lost.
Yeah. Well, the Crows were less than impressed after losing that first one that they were expected to win. So they lost by 11 points. Earlier on in the season, and they had their backup game against Port Adelaide with Showdown 2, and we were winning for most of the game. We were winning by, like, what was it? They kicked 1 point in the first quarter.
5-1 to 1 point.
How bad's that last quarter?
Didn't even score. Hang your heads in shame. 1997 Port Adelaide.
It's disgraceful, and it was just embarrassing because we had them on toast, and think about this. We had them, we kicked 58 points for the game. We lost 9-4 to 9-11, and Adelaide won by 7 points. In the first quarter, we were up 5-1 to 1 point, so we're up by 30 points. So after the first quarter, we kicked 4-4 for the rest of the game. Like, seriously, that's freaking awful. Like, it was one of the most disappointing games, because after that first quarter, I just remember being like, yeah, sucked in, you Crow scum. Port Adelaide comes to the AFL and we are rocking.
It's you giving us a bad name. Yeah.
Oh, nah. I was fired up.
I've just got a tweet from Bevan, and if this is correct... It says, are you guys on mute?
No.
Are you sure, Al?
100%. I'm not on mute. I've just checked. Well, there is no mute button. Is Bevan taking the piss? Because there's no mute button here.
Bevan, are you taking the piss? Because I reckon Al's put us on mute.
No, there's no mute. I swear.
Honestly, who would be?
Or have you just, are we still like live or have you pressed a different
button? It's got live on air. We've got 35 minutes 15. There is no mute. My microphone's going up. Skype's going up.
Maybe if Rick is listening, he can give us a confidence boosting tweet.
Rick's already replacing us, mate. He's already making phone calls. See you later. 1870
Oh, and guess what? And Bevan just sent in, sorry, crazy big owl. Yes, was taking the piss. Thank goodness. That's awesome. I'm sorry, Bevan. That is awesome. Because I was petrified. I'm like, have I effed it up again? Seriously. I would have walked. I said, no, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm over. But yes, you've got me.
You're skating on very thin ice as it is, yeah.
I'm aware.
Technological prowess is poor at best.
Yeah, when it comes to this bloody thing.
You're about as effective as the Port Adelaide forward line at the moment.
Yeah. I have moments of... Yes, yeah, it was shocking. Bevan, thank you. I think you've, like, surpassed Phil's joke, because, like, that was hilarious.
Oh, Phil's...
Bevan is, like, my idol right now. That was awesome.
Phil's joke, like, that would be hard to surpass, wouldn't it?
I've got another one.
Oh, did you get one?
Yeah.
He pulled one out of the rabbit out of the hat. But, yeah, so that game was poor. And, Scotty Cummings did lead the goal kicking with 3 goals. But, yeah, it was pretty poor.
You've lost the bet. I've lost the bet. There's a beer on it. Now you owe me two.
That's all right. I'm more than happy to... I don't welch on my bets, unlike some people... of diminutive stature that are also on this radio show.
What?
I'm talking about you, Fox. You welch on your bets. You don't follow through.
What bet have I ever welched on?
It's too many to remember, really, but I know that you're a welcher. You and the gunk. But, Port Adelaide, the captain did shine the way in the showdown. Wanganeen got 27 touches and actually 3 Brownlow votes for the game. It seems that Port Adelaide captains usually play pretty well in showdowns. So, yeah, but still just disappointing. Did you know that Bowen Lockwood played in that game? And I just remembered that, yeah, he got donuts.
Is this a fact or is this a made-up fact that you tend to do?
No, it's 100% the case. Yeah. Bowen Lockwood had donuts. Didn't touch the ball.
He must have got injured.
Because Bowen, we love Bowen.
And so did John Rombotis, but he probably didn't get injured.
Yeah.
Difference in talent there, wasn't there?
Yep, just a little bit.
2 touches. Damien Squire, 6 touches.
I shouldn't really be bagging. Squire, 4 touches. I'm terrible.
Hey, Nathan Eagleton, 2 touches.
I already said that.
Got no heart.
Oh.
Anyway, moving on.
Tick, boom.
We lost. That's dreadful.
Yeah.
Is that your joke, Phil?
No.
Because it wasn't funny.
I know it wasn't funny.
Wow. Catch you later, listeners. Thanks for listening.
Oh, so no, I didn't mean that. What your reference?
Oh, you don't? Didn't mean that. Okay.
No, right.
No.
Now he feels terrible.
Stop backtracking, Phil. You're embarrassing yourself.
You're embarrassing yourself, and you should honestly like just be forthright in your convictions and just say, "Yeah, I did mean it."
That's right. I apologise. It was a poorly thought out joke, and I'm not sorry.
Really apologising. He's all right though, isn't he? So it's managed. It's all managed. So it's fine.
Well, the game against. The Lions up at the Gabba. It's another game of first for our first season. It was our first draw.
We drew with them a couple of times, didn't we?
Yeah, early on, I think we... Mm. I'm not sure how many, I'm not going to... But, like, at least two or three times in the first 4 years or something. We drew with them.
I remember Stewie Jew stuffing up a kick in, I reckon, against Brisbane. That resulted in the draw. Anyway, that's not this game.
Yeah, so it was 13 goals, 15-93 to 13 goals, 15-93. So we're up by 1 point at quarter time, and then we actually got up to like a 5-goal lead at 29 points at half time. Then they pegged it back to being 1 goal at 1 point at 3-quarter time, and then it was a draw. So yeah, it was pretty bad that we did get that draw, because those types of games were the reason that we didn't make the eight. So yeah, it was.
But we've moved on.
We've moved on. But yeah, it was a pretty hard fought contest. Freaking Clark Keating had the best of Matty Primus that day, which is pretty disappointing. But Shane Bond and Gav were probably our best players for Port Adelaide.
And they're Cummings with 4-4.
Yep. But yeah, Braden Lowell had the 20 touches and Donald Dickey had the lazy 18. But yeah, it was pretty disappointing that we just couldn't get over the line. So yeah, that's the rest of 97 that we'll be covering tonight. Hey boys, I want to know what you think of the Dangerfield decision. There's a bit of conjecture going around that he's going to sign for 2 years. Our mate Marchie actually commented on a Facebook post from like 3 years ago saying that Dangerfield had signed for 3 years. So like people are thinking, oh, he signed for 3 years on the AFL Facebook page. So they think, oh, it's got Dangerfield signs for three. And then you look at the date of the article, it's like, 2012. That's awesome. Yeah. Typical Marchie shit. Yeah, he's a bit of a funny character, that mate. So, yeah, it was. So there's nothing to. Bickley says they're taking the piss. It's not true. So, yeah.
I personally hope that he stays and that they tie up an enormous amount of their salary cap in keeping him. That's my personal hope. Overrated.
And Phil, what do you think?
Against us, like, and he's a good extractor, but he just burns the ball like no tomorrow.
I heard from someone today that kind of knows a few people.
Oh, here we go.
That he's apparently getting offered an offer from Adelaide that is going to be very, very, very decent.
Oh, well,
like, no, I'm talking like $1 million a season.
Good.
Over five.
Wow.
That's what I've heard.
It'll be interesting to see. And it is from
someone who very possibly would know, but we'll wait and see. Someone, you know, good old Lauren on Twitter. She's always entertaining on Twitter and occasionally listens to us. She did a tweet today that I reckon was spot on when it came to Dangerfield. I can't find it because she does tweet a lot, so I'm trying to find it.
She's a good egg, Lauren.
Yeah, she's Lauren. Very entertaining on the
tweet
Twitter.
In, Lauren. Let it be a bit
she's
interactive.
Not, we she's like. Not listening. She said she listens to the podcasts.
Okay. Well, when you listen to it, Lauren, g'day.
Hang on, I'm gonna find what she wrote because it was awesome. Oh, so just talk amongst yourself.
You should probably do this as your pre-show prep, mate. Really.
Hey, okay. While he's looking up the Dangerfield tweet, I want to talk about what about Watson and people saying he should retire or he should go somewhere else because the. He should give up the captaincy because this saga is weighing on him too heavily. What do you think of that, Nick?
Don't care.
Do you have a view? You don't give a shit?
Valid.
No. To be honest with you, if it's not Port Adelaide, I'm not overly interested.
Kind of makes the around the grounds thing a bit awkward then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just mute me during that.
Like
no, I don't have an opinion. I start of things too complex for most people to understand. So who knows what's going to happen when Wada get involved. And, don't really care if he retires, moves, stays, whatever. Tainted Brownlow, some might say.
No, exactly. And what do you think about they're saying that Port Adelaide – won't be big players in the free agent market.
Yeah, I think that's probably good because we need to really go back to the draft hard. You know, we didn't enter the draft until later on last year because of getting Paddy. And I think, Hawthorne do just an incredible job at finishing high up the ladder and still getting quality youth come in. God knows how they manage to do such a good job, but they certainly do. And we need to, this draft year, the next couple of draft years really need to count because there's some holes that need to be plugged in that side. And, the unfortunate thing is that you look at how long, Travis Blake, those sort of, even though they're relatively young now, if we get another key forward or whatever that a lot of people say we need, it sort of takes 5 years for one of those guys to develop. So it's a really tough call. Now, List is at a really interesting place at the moment, but I think we have to go into the draft this year. And for me, best midfielder, inside sort of midfielder. And I think you could just go best available, anything really. Whoever's there, no matter what position they play, as long as it's not a half-back flanker with a unique blend of
speed and endurance.
I haven't been listening because I've been trying to find this week, but we've sort of moved past the Dangerfield thing now, haven't we? So I can't really. It's probably lost a bit of its relevance.
No.
So I'll bring it up. Come on.
What Lauren said, and I flat out, I saw it, and I was like, yep. Perfect, because this is exactly what I reckon Dangerfield's about.
Oh, did you retweet it?
No, I favourited it just then because I just realised I hadn't. So I've gone, yep, that's a favourite on Twitter because I'm not that great with Twitter. That's kind of like a like on Facebook.
Hey, Phil, what is it, mate?
Okay, I'm getting there.
It's like his jokes. They just take so long.
Oh, my God. I'm overhearing about Dangerfield. Who cares? He stretched it out because he loves the attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree.
I reckon he is absolutely an attention whore. He loves it.
How often does he just have a sook because he gets a little bit smacked around and he's on the ground. He takes so long to get up and he plays the crowd thinking, oh, my God, is Paddy injured?
Mate.
Get out of yourself, mate. You're not that good.
God, you're so right.
How has he become this demigod in this stupid state we live in? Like, seriously, I remember when Boke signed and he got, a quarter of the of one page of the Agoniser? Paddy Dangerfield re-signs and he gets six pages. I mean,
six? He got more than six, man. That
tells you all you need to know.
But you're so right about the injury thing. Patrick Dangerfield is either the bravest bloke ever and just gets injured constantly and looks like his season's over and then gets up and walks off.
Unlikely.
Or he's a bloody sook.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's a sook because I'm not hearing any actual confirmed injuries.
Nah. He just loves the lot. He knows when he's on the ground, he will be on TV. He would be a sponsor's dream. The amount of airtime that guy gets is just insane.
Did you see that photo with him holding a tarp?
No.
After
Paul. Really?
You guys didn't see that?
No.
I don't get the advertiser or anything.
Dude, seriously. Now, I don't know if someone sort of made up the timing, but it was after Port had lost a couple of games. I reckon he was in 5AA. And he was holding a tarp.
Really?
Yep.
Classy.
Yep.
Oh. Stay classy, Adelaide Crows.
Yeah. Duh, I can't find it. But seriously, it's a fact.
If you can find it, we'll get it retweeted on the Port Fan Radio.
We'll try and start a media campaign about it.
No, I swear to God, I saw it on the Twitter.
What, is this year that he held?
Yeah. Well, I saw it on Twitter this year. So I'm assuming it was from this year.
If one of our listeners or one of our people that listen to it on the podcast, if you could tweet in a copy of that photo if you do find it, because we'd be really interested in having a look at it, because I didn't see it myself.
I don't like him. I don't like him. Anyway.
You don't like him? That's cool.
He's a real destabilizing influence as well. Like, surely you couldn't... I don't know, like, if there was that big a personality in your side, you know, and you had guys like Rory Sloan, who I reckon comes across as a really nice guy, good team man, would make a great captain, gives everything he's got to the football club. I don't know, like, you put him up against Dangerfield and it's like chalk and cheese for me. I know which guy I'd follow if I was a young kid coming through.
But
what are you doing now? Are you like rubbing? Are you like getting a cheese grater and going over the microphone?
No, not at all, my friend.
I don't know. He sounds distracted though, Nick.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to work out some other facts to make up.
No, there's no facts to make up this week.
So no, not giving away the voucher again?
Well, we've had no tweets, no response. So I suppose we'll have to wait.
I think you should give it to Bevan.
The Google internet machine, mate.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Should we give it to Bevan?
I think we should give it to Bevan. He's been the funniest part of the show, to be honest.
that was pretty funny.
Sensational.
He caused mayhem. Like, let's be honest. This is a pretty professional outfit that we're running here, and he did cause mayhem, you know.
I was looking at my thing to see if I'd hit mute.
And I looked at I'm looking at the button going, the mute's not on, I promise. Like, I was like, because I have been known to make some muting mistakes in the past, and I've tried to learn from them, and I've got my lessons learned, and I've got a little sticky note that says, make sure mute's not on, just so that in case I flick it. And yeah, it wasn't on, so I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then I was just going to start calling Macca and crying and saying, I just don't know what I've done. But thanks, Bevan, for taking the piss. It was hilarious.
It was fun.
It was fun. But, well, we've got a couple of shows coming up this week on Port Fan Radio. I think Harold and Matt are going to be got the Maggie's Hour tomorrow night from 8.
At least we got a win there. That was a good win.
Yeah, that was a great win. Top of the table, Eagles got 41 points, which is good. And then on Thursday night, the Port Adelaide preview show of the Bombers game at Docklands on Saturday night with Macca and Fisting Rick and a special guest from 8 till late on Port Fan Radio. So, yeah, it's there'll be a couple of good shows. Listen in, guys. I think they'd appreciate the interaction as well. So, yeah, and then next week we're going to be discussing rounds the end of the 97 season. So
we won't be discussing finals, though, so... Spoiler alert, we didn't make it.
Yeah, spoiler alert, we didn't make it. But we'd like your feedback on potential topics moving forward after that, whether you want a player, an actual review on a player's career, etc. We'd like your thoughts, so please tweet in or send us a message on the Port Fan Radio Facebook site. So, yeah, thanks very much, guys.
Don't you want my joke?
Okay, I forgot. Phil's joke. No. I think Bevan will be disappointed if we don't do Phil's joke.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's an awesome knock-knock joke, all right? But you've got to start it, all right?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
No idea.
That's it.
Ah. Oh. I'm glad we stopped wrapping up the show for that. That was fantastic.
Your jokes, like, they are really, really bad, Phil.
I know. That's what makes them awesome. I've got another one.
Okay, go ahead. Give us another one.
Hey, Phil, have you ever actually had anyone, like, really,
laugh.
Like, you know, open up laughing? Just
hey, did you see bloody Big Footy? Someone said they like the 1870 hour. Really like Phil's jokes. Happened. And I had a tweet
where and it was from Phil.
Moth joke to their wife and kids, and they thought it was awesome. It was only supposed to be one joke, in fairness. It was just a moth joke, and then you've made me
It's your segment each week, Phil.
How good was that last one? That was all right, wasn't it?
Oh, fantastic. It was a rib tickler. But, well, guys, I suppose we better pull the pin for tonight. Thanks for listening to the 1870 Hour. We appreciate all our listeners.
55 minutes. That's what we call
it. Oh, the 1870, 55 minutes. But anyway, guys, we'll see you next week. Go the power.
Catch you, guys.
Bye-bye.